It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show and happy Labor Day weekend. This is Charlie Potter, your host on WGN Radio. Seems like just yesterday we kicked off summer with Memorial Day, but that's how things go. Summer is still a bit of summer ahead of us, but the official end of summer is tomorrow. Speaking of official ends, I'm going to start off this morning's show talking about an individual that I had the pleasure of knowing and certainly who has been in the news for the last week, and that is Senator John McCain. And what I'd like to do this morning is talk a little bit about the Senator John McCain that I came to know a little bit, and the part of him that, while we are talking about an individual and what he did courageously in his life and for America, is not well known what he also did for something he cared very deeply about, and that is our national parks, and his belief in the public trust that we have in maintaining and enhancing and utilizing our national park system. I first came to know John McCain in 2000 when he was running for President of the United States, and then I came to know him much better in 2008 when he again was running for President of the United States. And how I came to know him was through a couple of things. I was on the board of directors of something called the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, which was working with conservation organizations from across America trying to draw attention to the need of maintaining our public lands and our national parks. And Senator McCain became aware of this effort, and he took an interest in trying to further our objectives because they were in line with his. The other way I came to know him was he asked me to assist when he was running for president in 2008 in the development of a comprehensive national conservation agenda, which would include our national parks. So I had the pleasure of meeting him on several occasions when he was running for president, and then after he secured the Republican nomination, I had the pleasure of working alongside his very capable team of people, and on occasion interacting with him on a whole series of conservation issues. And so I have a little bit of a different insight into how Senator McCain operated in the conservation world, and I will say that it was a true pleasure having the opportunity to assist him in his efforts not only to become President of the United States, but also in how he looked at our national parks and believed in maintaining them. And today, here we are in 2018, our national parks remain in a state of incredible disrepair. Backlog is in the hundreds of millions, if not now beyond, in the maintenance of our national parks. And it's a subject that we don't talk very much about, and yet it's one of our most proud heritages. Senator John McCain was a ardent believer in the philosophy of Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt. He was a reader of Roosevelt's books. We actually at one time shared a book I had read of Roosevelt, Life on the Prairie. I gave it to Senator McCain. And I think his thinkings are very much in the conservation and outdoor world based in the world of Teddy Roosevelt. If you've heard, Senator McCain was a voracious reader, a person who really understood a variety of issues. He was not an individual who hunted. As he shared with me one time, I had plenty of that in Vietnam. And the other thing is his war injuries, his prisoner of war injuries resulted in him being unable to ever hold a firearm again, as he had an inability to lift his arms to full height. So hunting was not something Senator McCain was going to do. Certainly he believed in the heritage of hunting and fishing and our outdoor stewardship. But what I want to spend just a moment this morning talking about is the legacy he's left for our national parks. He really raised the awareness of the sad state of our national parks when he ran for president in 2000 and again when he ran and received the Republican nomination in 2008. National parks really were not on the radar screen of America from the point of view of being a treasure, a public trust, and he viewed them that way. And much of his campaign in the conservation world was built around having proper funding and management for our national parks, having professional management, and he felt it was a national disgrace that our national parks were in a state of disrepair through now over two generations of Americans utilizing them but not maintaining them, respecting them but not understanding what needed to be done to have our national parks properly operated. And whether it is the national parks in Washington, D.C., which amazingly are, of course, well-maintained. And why are they well-maintained? Because they're right under the noses of Congress, and Congress can see what's happening. So our Park Service in Washington is a shining example of well-maintained national parks. The further you get from Washington, D.C., unfortunately, often the case is the worse the state of our national parks. And whether it be our greatest of treasures, Yosemite and Yellowstone and the Grand Canyon, which each of them suffers just an incredible backlog of failed and actually unexecuted maintenance, or whether it be our battlefields, or whether it be smaller national parks, each of them has, because of Congress's inability to understand that these are, in fact, our national treasures that need to be maintained, each of them, sadly, is in a situation of some state of disrepair. And if you go to Yellowstone and you look at the old lodges, which were built a long time ago, and you look at them and you see the uneven floors and you see the roofs falling off in some cases, you realize that these were given to America for Americans to enjoy forever. And if that's going to be the case, they have to be maintained forever. So when I think of Senator John McCain, I think of his fight to have our national parks recognized for what they are, a part of our heritage that the forefathers of this country had the foresight to be able to recognize that these were incredible treasures to be protected and preserved. And John McCain fought for that hard. He's one of the few people in Congress who understood this and who fought for this. So part of his legacy should be remembered that he was a champion of our national parks. And had he become President of the United States, I think it is safe to say our national parks would be in a far different state of repair than they are today, would be far different as how the public understood the value of our national parks. These are supposed to be there forever, as I said a moment ago. And they will be there. But in what kind of a condition? Is it something that we're going to be proud of? You go to the Washington Monument or the Jefferson Memorial or the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, and you're proud to go there, and they are well-maintained. Say that about going on a trail in Yellowstone or going to a lodge in Yellowstone. Say that about going to Yosemite or actually, unfortunately, the trash in the Grand Canyon. It's a sad state of affairs that we have not embraced our public trust. And now the price tag of maintaining our national parks is astounding. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people who don't even understand why we have them. So if we think of John McCain, maybe one thing we can do in his memory is to make sure that our national parks are indeed the national treasure that they are meant to be, and which he fought so hard for them to be. We will remember John McCain for a lot of things. Most people did not know of his commitment to this public treasure. He loved America's outdoors. He was engaged in America's outdoors, but not in a consumptive way, not hunting and fishing. He was engaged in America's outdoors from hiking and enjoying and knowing the history of our national parks. And far too few of us know the history of our national parks and why they exist. And certainly if we are going to pass on this incredible resource to the next generations, and it is our public trust, Yellowstone and Yosemite are our public trust, all of our national parks are indeed a public trust. Maybe we could take something from the page of what John McCain spent so much time working on And as I said, I had the pleasure of knowing him. No, I did not know him well. Yes, I knew him over quite a period of long period of time. Yes, I had the pleasure of working with him, and I saw the intensity of his commitment. When Senator John McCain took on a cause, you knew that he was taking it on to win. He was not taking it on just to look good. He did not do that. And the national parks are something he took on, he treasured, and he hoped that we could make better for all Americans for all time. So as we think about John McCain today, as he's being buried at the Naval Academy, put to rest forever, only the 30th person ever to lie in state in Washington, D.C., as he did yesterday, maybe we can, and Friday as well, maybe we can think forward and say what a great legacy it would be to a man who gave so much for his country and held high ideals. What a great legacy would be to say, let's fix our national parks. Let's pick up the banner that John McCain carried for so long and really do something which he started but was unable to finish, and that is the rebuilding of our national parks so that they are the national treasures that our forefathers held for us in trust and that we should pass on to those who follow us. If we did that for John McCain, who tried so hard to make our national treasures indeed national treasures and to be properly maintained, that would be a most fitting legacy. So as I go to the break, I think of John McCain, as we all are, in different ways, and to have personally known him in his fight to make our champion our outdoors and champion our national parks. It has been a blessing to do so. And it reminds me that we have a commitment to carry on something that was handed down to us and which John McCain helped torch on. It's being passed now. Who will pick it up is unknown, but we can't let it fall. Our national parks are far too important. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN Radio. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, our Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. I'm going to move on now from honoring John McCain's commitment to our national parks, which he certainly did, as I described a bit ago. To something that is occurring in the North Atlantic, which maybe it will keep occurring, maybe it won't, but it certainly has really, frankly, much of the world's attention, and that is what is going on with Atlantic salmon. The Atlantic salmon run this year probably may be the worst on record. Individuals who fish for a long time along the legendary rivers of Canada, the Miramichi, the Roostigouche, St. John's, these incredible rivers that since the beginning of time have held Atlantic salmon runs that were originally prodigious and now are just a skeletal of what they once were. This year appear to be even worse. The water temperatures, whether it is a shifting of the Gulf Stream current further to the northwest, whatever is happening is the water temperatures in the famous salmon run regions of Canada are very high, higher than they've been recorded. And that has led to an increase in striped bass, which are now moving throughout the St. Lawrence Seaway and sitting at the mouths of the Miramichi and the Restigouche and any number of salmon rivers. Hundreds of thousands of striped bass are sitting at the mouths of these rivers, and of course they will eat the salmon fry as the salmon fry come down the rivers next spring to return to the sea. So we have a situation taking place where I'm not saying that we have a collapse of Atlantic salmon, but we certainly are seeing an incredible degradation of their habitat as a result of much warmer. And warmer, by the way, can only be a degree, 2-3 degrees in ocean temperatures in these rivers, is enough to change an ecosystem. And that's what we're seeing in the Atlantic salmon famous rivers. So striped bass are loving it. They are at population levels that are extremely high, and in fact higher in some places than they ever have been recorded. And the concern is, will the rise of the striped bass have a long-term impact on Atlantic salmon as they try to maintain what are now historically low population rivers, levels in rivers that apparently are getting warmer all the time. And why are they getting warmer? We don't understand. Some people say it's climate change. Some people say it's the shifting of the Gulf Stream to the west. But it's undeniable that the water of the upper Atlantic in Canada, where the salmon runs have been going on, well, since the beginning of time, is definitely warmer. And the fish are suffering. They are picking up diseases. They carry much more lice. Atlantic salmon are a cold weather, cold water fish resource, and they are not doing well right now as a result of warming waters in the North Atlantic. Meanwhile, if you're a striped bass fisherman, my goodness, go to the St. Lawrence Seaway. Go to Quebec. Sit at the mouth of the Miramichi or sit at the mouth of the Restigouche or the St. John's of the DeSalve, and you will absolutely have some of the best striped bass fishing that there is known. Unfortunately, individuals who've long traveled there and live there aren't terribly interested in catching striped bass. It's Atlantic salmon that they're after, and the Atlantic salmon appears to be in real trouble. The Atlantic Salmon Federation is an organization. Just go to asf.org, and you can learn much more about the situation and whether this is the canary in the coal mine, whether this is sort of a bellwether. The trend over the last few years has really been quite bad, this year being at the nadir so far. So hopefully next year something changes, but if it doesn't, we appear to be looking at a really significant decline in the population of Atlantic salmon returning, and those fish that are returning to their rivers where they spawn are now facing their smolt, which are the young of the year, are facing hundreds of thousands of hungry striped bass, which are sitting at the mouths of these rivers, which is a relatively new phenomenon. It's much like the seals and the sea lions sitting at the mouths of the Pacific Northwest rivers waiting now for the surviving salmon to come down in numbers, the sea lions being in numbers that are just unprecedented in history. So not good news on the Atlantic coast for Atlantic salmon. Very good news for striped bass. Unfortunately, people care more about Atlantic salmon in that part of the world than striped bass, and with good reason. So we'll see what happens, but I just thought I would take you to the upper East Coast in Quebec and Newfoundland and also in the northern United States where Atlantic salmon are in deep trouble. Thank you for listening this morning, and may we take a moment as we sign off to think about John McCain and what he meant for this country and what he also meant for the great outdoors, which is what this show, after all, is all about. This is the Great Outdoors Show, the outdoor voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. This is your host, Charlie Potter. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the Great Outdoors.